Svagonarakova Kim sukam dukam evava Gunapava etasmin Kahasapakunvangraha Kahasvagonarakova Kim sukam dukam evava Prabhupada's. Matajis? No? Okay. Guna Bravahe. In the current of the modes of material nature. Etasmin. This. Kaha. What? Shapaha. A curse. Kaha. What? Nu. Indeed. Anugaraha, a favor. Kaha, what? Swaga, elevation to heavenly planets. Naraka, hell. Kaha, what? Va, or. Kim, what? Sukham, happiness. Dukham, distress. Eva, indeed. Va, or, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. This material world resembles the waves of a constantly flowing river. Therefore, what is a curse and what is a favor? What are the heavenly planets and what are the hellish planets? What is actually happiness and what is actually distress? Because the waves flow constantly, none of them has an eternal effect. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Miche mayare vase yache bheshe kachar hududubu bhai. My dear living entity, within this material world, why are you being carried away by the ways of the modes of material nature? Jiva Krishna das e vishvasa kare taradha dukanai. If the living entity tries to understand that he is an internal servant of Krishna, there will be no longer misery for him. Krishna wants us to give up all other engagements and surrender unto him. If we do so, where will the cause and effect of this material world be? There is nothing like cause and effect for the surrendered soul. Srila Bishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says in this regard that being put into this material world is like being thrown into a mine of salt. If one falls into a mine of salt, he tastes only salt wherever he goes. Similarly, this material world is full of miseries. The so-called temporary happiness of the world is also misery. But in ignorance, we cannot understand this. That is the actual position. When one comes to his senses, when he becomes Krishna conscious, he is no longer concerned with the various conditions of this material world. He is not concerned with happiness or distress, curses or favors, or heavenly or hellish planets. He sees no distinction between them. This material world resembles the ways of a constantly flowing river. Therefore, what is a curse and what is a favor? What are the heavenly planets and what are the hellish planets? What is actually happiness and what is actually distress? Because the ways flow constantly, none of them has an eternal effect. Om Jnana Tibarandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshumantam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sarasvati Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it is my good fortune to be here amongst you all. Though my external appearance may look Indian, unfortunately due to being born in the West, I have no capacity to speak in any other language than English. In fact, I remember when I was first courting my wife, at that time, from a Gujarati background, I had very little comprehension of Gujarati. And in order for me to successfully marry my wife, her grandmother told her that unless I learn Gujarati or learn how to speak Gujarati, then you will not be able to marry my granddaughter. So, of course, with some impetus, then we actually learn something. So in this way, we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many situations where the devotee is put into an intense position. And when we read the Bhagavatam, we think, my God, it's one of those verses again. What am I supposed to do with this? Yeah. I know that the material world is a bad place, but really, come on, give me a break. You know, at least give me some possibility of some happiness somewhere in this material world. But we don't get that here in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is relentless. That's what the Bhagavatam is meant to be. It's meant to be relentless in its pursuit to push us to Krishna Prem. So I'm here sitting in front of all of you. I have no real qualifications. I'm sitting here in front of such elevated Vaishnavas. Tattvavit Prabhu, give us his blessings. We can speak something appropriate and in line of the Acharyas. So, in this way we see that it's the reaction. It's not the situation. It's how the devotee reacts to the situation. That is the test of one's bhakti. It's not that in the material existence, when we become Krishna conscious, then everything's easy. Everything's straightforward, everything should be easy. Now I've surrendered to Krishna. Right, Krishna is my friend, and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's always smiling, so I should also be smiling when I surrender to him, right? He's always smiling, he's always happy. He never misses a meal. No? Just like in pujari service, and you're cooking for the Lord, you know you have to make sure that that offering's on time. If that offering is not on time, that's it. Life is finished. Krishna has to have his offering on time. Just like in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, you know, there was the magic bell. Whenever he would ring the bell, that was it. If the servant wasn't there in 30 seconds, psh, finished. So in Krishna consciousness, there's regulation. Regulation is actually meant to protect us. When we're protected, then we're able to progress. But if we do not protect ourselves from the influences of the waves of material energy, then we'll become susceptible to falling down. Then we'll become susceptible to the influences of material nature. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He puts His devotees in such an intense situation. Why? Because then we, being very intelligent, have really no position to argue that our problem is bigger than the problems faced in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? We look at Maharaj Chitraketa, what happened to him? He had 10,000 wives, not just one wife, 10,000. And not one of them could give him her son. Huh? How many?
1 crore. Sorry. 100,000. That's right. 100,000. Not one of his wives could give him a son. And then when the son came, what then happens? You know? Generally speaking, when too many ladies get together in one place, then becomes friction. That's why you see in the brahmachari ashram, so many brahmacharis can stay together in one place. But if you have a brahmacharini ashram, there has to be space. Because ladies need their space. So here we have the situation, no? The Chitraketu's had his son, everything's going nice, and then, boom. One of the worst ways you can kill someone is through poison. It's described, In Manu, if someone poisons someone, that is one of the worst ways that you can kill someone. It's through poison, according to Manu Samhita. So they administer poison to an innocent child. You imagine the consciousness. And then, of course, we know the pastime. When the son comes back, he's giving lessons to Chitraketu. And then Chitraketu becomes sober. Why does he become sober? Because he is able to see that his material desires, even though are being fulfilled, they are temporary. And the fulfillment is also temporary. Therefore, what is permanent? That we have to be able to see. What is actually permanent? Is our position in the temple permanent? Is our position in our service permanent? Is our position in our ashram permanent? Yes or no? May or may not be. But is our relationship with Krishna permanent? Yes. Only if we see it according to what pleases Krishna. If we see it in any other way, it becomes a temporary relationship. Why does it become a temporary relationship? Because we are the person who is trying to control the situation. Just like Chitraketu Maharaj is trying to control the situation. When he let go, then he was completely under the shelter of Krishna. Then he was able to deal with any situation, positive or negative. So as practicing devotees in Krishna consciousness, this is the position we have to come to. That position of nishta. And nishta can only come after anatta nirvritti. So one has to let go of one's anattas. What are those anattas? The biggest two are controlling and enjoying. Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ki, Siddha Ramakshan Hanuman Ji Ki, Shri Shri Gonitai Ki. So if we give up this tendency to control and enjoy, but it's not easy. It's simple to just say it. I mean, I myself personally, just like when we were in London, when we were in our temple in London at Soho Street, serving Radha Landanishwar, then we're in our position, we're in our comfort zone. We know the devotees, everyone knows us, we have our place. And so it's comfortable. But the minute we leave our place and we go to any other temple in the world, then there's no position. And just where does the mind go? The mind is lost then. Oh, what is my position? Where am I? Just like when you go to Mayapur, there's hundreds of thousands of devotees. Just like now, festival time is coming. We just was there last week, and we'll be going there again in a few days' time. So festival time is coming. So they're not just international devotees. The locals also come. And you're pushed, and you're pulled, and everything is going on at the same time, and you're thinking to yourself, why am I here? I should be back in Soho, back in my comfortable position. Why? Because we're seeing the external. As long as we see Krishna through the external, then we'll be affected by these modes of material nature. How does that vision change? That vision can only change through surrender and through sincerity, through purity. That is why Krishna puts his devotees through such intense situations. Because as I said, then the bar is up here. How many of you have bigger problems than Chitraketu in your life? Anyone want to raise your hand? Has had a bigger problem than Chitraketu. Or, okay, forget Chitraketu. A bigger problem than the Pandavas. Right? Anyone in their life has, you know, had their, you know, first cousin try to burn them alive, try to poison them, try to disrobe their wife, those of you who are in the Grihastha ashram. Tried to cheat you, not once, but twice. Any one of you? No. None of us can compare to any of these personalities of the Bhagavatam. Yet, somehow or other, we think that our situation is so special, so unique. Our problem is so special, so unique. Nothing, not even Krishna, can take care of it. Not even Krishna consciousness can address my issue, my problem, my situation. Therefore, why do I need to bother about this bhakti stuff? I've been trying for so long. It's not really working, so let me try something else. This is the problem with our mentality. So therefore, we see by these great personalities that, just like it's said, that analogy is given, that the devotee is like the shark who dives deep into the ocean. And the ocean is then not affected by the many streams that go into it. Stays calm, stays steady. And the devotee is diving deep into the ocean of bhakti. So how do we dive deep into the ocean of bhakti? We can only dive deep if we have taste. And that taste can only come if we let go of the taste of material enjoyment. And therefore, Krishna gives us special suffering. Why does He give us special suffering? Because we're actually chanting every day, please engage me in your service. Okay, if you want to be engaged in your service, that means you have to let go. Just like there's that famous poster Srila Prabhupada was talking about one time, when there's a man hugging a tree. And then he's saying, this tree is not letting me go. And Prabhupada is giving the analogies, just like Maya. We're thinking Maya's not letting us go, but if we simply let go, when Srila Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan and Gonitai, and then he made the point that now they are here, because it was such a struggle. Two struggles happening at the same time. The installation of Krishna Balaram, and many other things were happening in the organization of the movement. So there was many things that Prabhupada had to deal with at the same time. And so when the deities came and then when they installed, Prabhupada said, now they're here, you can leave, you can go to them and tell them your problem. But then your problem has to stay there. Generally speaking, in Krishna consciousness, what do we like to do? We like to go and approach the deities, we tell them our problem. And then what do? We walk away, still holding on to our problem. Which means what? We want Krishna to take care of it, but we don't want to let go of it. But how will Krishna take care unless we have trust and faith that He's going to take care? That means we have to let it go. That's why Chittaketu Maharaj is making that point. Doesn't matter, one is getting blessings, one is getting a curse. In the material world, it's all irrelevant according to what pleases Krishna. And what is the other personality that we see in the Bhagavatam first canto who gives the same analogy? It's Dharma the bull. Exact same Christian. Parikshit Maharaj is asking Dharma, why are you in this suffering condition? And then Dharma is saying, oh, it could be so many reasons. He gives a list of so many reasons why. But he never blames the perpetrator. He never blames Kaliraj. This is bhakti. This is devotion. That in any situation that the devotee is looking within first, that's the first position one should look. Not outside. But in the material consciousness, what do? Look out. Who's to blame? Right? Just like that famous analogy, no? One finger pointing that way. Three fingers pointing back at you, no? But generally speaking, we focus on the one finger pointing that way. That's you, must be you, no? It's your fault. Why is it your fault? That's because you're here. Because you exist, it must be your fault. No? It can't be my fault. Well, Chitraketu, what was he doing? He was minding his own business. Okay, he's seeing, you know? A very unique scene, right? Shivaji is giving class. Imagine if someone, Radha Rasbihari, gave class, Grihastha gave class, called his wife over and, you know, what would you all do? It would be a riot. He'd be kicked out of the temple. He'd never be able to come back here again. But Shiva, of course, is in a different position. And so then Parvati being, you know, then we understand. But Chitraketu saw them as an instrument. Because who's the ultimate controller? It's Krishna. It's only because Krishna sanctions something does something happen. So then how can you blame the instrument? You cannot blame the instrument. If a material effect is coming to you, it must be because there was a material cause. Material cause means where is it coming from? It's coming from our conditioned nature. That's the laws of karma. An effect only comes because of a cause. A cause will only become because we are acting according to karma. When we act according to the spiritual situation, then the only effect coming to us is bhakti. That's all that we will get. So that's the one thing that we have to preserve in any situation, both positive or negative. It's a bhakti. And how do we know we're progressing? When we're in troubling situations, and the next time you're in a troubling situation, which generally for most of us will be 30 seconds after we leave the temple. There's always something happening in the material world. There's always some trouble. Just like this week, yeah, I'm here on business, so I have to travel from Juhu, from here, to Chembur. So it's, I mean, I thought London was an intense place. But it's not as intense as Bombay, especially if you want to go anywhere. Yeah, Bombay is an intense place. And so then, you know, I decided to take an auto rickshaw. And of course, what are you doing then if you take a rick going for an hour and a half? You're putting your life in the hands of the rickshaw driver, no? So you have to have complete faith. He knows what he's doing. I have no idea where I'm going. After a while, I was getting a familiarity of the route. But it's always the way. The route that they take going and the route that they take going coming back, completely different. And they have their own styles. Every driver, I had five different drivers every day. They have their own style. But in that situation, I was understanding that, what can I do? I can complain, I can say, well, no, but I deserve this and I should be like that. You know, in previous companies, they would have a car and it would be AC and I wouldn't have to worry about anything. So then I'm thinking, I'm so important, why do I have to do this? But it's my karma. So what should I do in that situation? Put my hand in my bee bag and chant. I've got an hour and a half. I should fill my time usefully in thinking about Krishna. Instead of thinking about how the material energy is so unfair and not giving me what I deserve. So we have to be careful. As we progress in Krishna consciousness, we have to be careful where our mind is going when we have negative, but actually even more importantly, when we have positive experiences in Krishna consciousness. Where is our mind going? Because actually the trick isn't the negative situation, because in the negative situation, generally speaking, if we have some devotion, it's quite easy to go to Krishna when we're in trouble. But when everything is going nice, that's the difficulty. Then how often are we actually thinking of a Krishna? When everything is going nice, everything is going great. What are we generally thinking about? Me. Oh, look at how I arranged this situation so nicely. That I got some fruit from my hard-earned action. And now I'll enjoy the fruit. Because Krishna consciousness, the fruit of Krishna consciousness is very tasty. The fruit of love of Godhead is very tasty. But if it's approached with the mood of enjoying separately, the taste becomes bitter after a while. Why? Because one's mood is not correct. So we see here, this story is all about mood. What is Chitraketu's mood in this situation? What was his mood? What was his reaction? What was his thoughts? What was his prayer? And in that way we see how we must elevate our consciousness. These personalities in the Bhagavatam, they're not there just as a nice story. Just like one friend of mine was telling me just today that Radhanath Maharaj gives a 3-hour class on this pastime. So it's great, it's nice, it's wonderful. Maharaj is able to do such amazing storytelling. And we're captivated for 3 hours, yes, but then what happens when we leave? Is our heart changed? Is our consciousness changed? That is when we actually take it seriously. Otherwise it's just entertainment. Just like there's a recent thing in some temples, after the class then devotees start clapping. Or after the kirtan, like in Kirtan Mela we'll have in Mayapur, the devotees start clapping. But it's not entertainment. We're not here to entertain you. Just like Bhakti Vishwambhara Madhava Maharaj says, it's not eye and ear exercise. You're not meant to be entertained by the devotees. Oh, who's giving class? Oh, such and such. Yeah, he gives great class. Why does he give great class? Oh, because he's very funny or he tells nice stories. Nothing to do with what is being spoken about. Just like one time in San Francisco. I think so. And then Srila Prabhupada came, generally speaking, when Prabhupada was always there, he would give class. But then after a while, then he wanted to encourage his disciples to give class. So then his disciples heard that Prabhupada wasn't giving class, but X and Y were giving class. So they were thinking that they could skip it. And then those of them who came to the class, they saw Prabhupada sitting there, and then Prabhupada turned around and said, "Don't think you're more of a Paramahamsa than I am." Prabhupada was showing by example that taste isn't artificial. Taste is natural. It means that anywhere, any discussion about Krishna is happening, one should be drawn to that. When one's taste is increasing, then one's reaction to the waves of material nature, they become much more steady. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that steadiness enabled to progress in our spiritual life. And that steadiness can only come from that fixed relationship with Krishna. Understanding that Krishna is an irrevocable fact. And that to please Him is an irrevocable fact. And in order to please Him, we have to serve Him according to how He likes. That's also an irrevocable fact. So that in any situation, then, okay, if that's what the Lord wants us to go through, then let's go through it. What are we meant to learn in that situation? And just like we have this nice example of the material energy, just like waves in a constantly flowing river, the waves never stop, just like when you stand on Juhu Beach, right? The waves are always coming, right? They never stop. Just like I heard the other day, one devotee, he's building a nice house in London. And in the house, in his basement, he's building an endless pool. I don't know if they have them here in India. But basically what it is that the swimming pool is there, and there is a flow of water that goes constantly against you, so that when you swim against the current, you never reach the end. So you're just swimming and swimming and swimming. It's supposed to be very good for exercise. So he's building that for sannyasis who come to stay with him. So that's the material world. So it's like an endless pool. The waves of the material energy, just like they never end. If we're in external consciousness, the minute we're in internal consciousness, then that's it. It's not that they've gone. It's just that we're not associating with them anymore. And that's all it is. It's just a simple change in where we want to associate. Who we want to associate with. If we want to associate with the mind, then for sure, it's going to give us kicks every 3 seconds. If you want to associate with Krishna and his eternal pastime with his devotees, then it doesn't matter if we get kicked. So in this way, as we see, Srila Prabhupada is making this point. The only way we can understand the situation is through knowledge, through transcendental knowledge. If we're not able to understand it, it's because we're still in ignorance. And that knowledge can only be imbibed if we have that actual purity of heart, that we actually want to surrender our entire existence to Krishna. That we want to extend our entire existence, not just, 5% here, 5%, our entire existence to Krishna. And unfortunately, or fortunately, those of us who practice Krishna consciousness for many, many years, the more serious we try and practice, the more serious the test comes. I'm sure that Tattvavit Prabhu will attest to that. He's been practicing Krishna consciousness for probably longer than most of us sitting here in this temple room. It's not that at their stage in spiritual life, everything has now become easy. Just like if you speak to your spiritual masters, your siksha gurus, and you can ask them, you've been practicing for 40, 50 years now, just like 50 years will be coming for ISKCON next year. So then life must be nice now. No, of course, the sannyasis, they get taken care of very nice, and they'll tell you, and actually, no. The challenges just become more intense. Just recently, Indradhuma Maharaj was sharing with some very young devotees about the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. And he was encouraging them to take up Krishna consciousness very, very seriously. And in fact, what he was saying was, you'll only really appreciate the taste of Krishna consciousness when you're able to share it with others. That's when you will be able to actually really appreciate Krishna consciousness. When you actually share it with someone else. When you're able to see that someone else take to Krishna consciousness and exceed even your practices of Krishna consciousness. That gives you such great hope. That gives you such great comfort. Because many times, especially when we're practicing anything, we're always still thinking about ourselves. And when there's a flaw in the practice, we don't think it's a problem with ourselves, we think it's a problem with the practice. But when we surround ourselves with other devotees, enthusiastic, new, fresh devotees, just like Prabhuji here, I see him every time, he's taking care of the bhaktas. And sometimes it's like, oh my God, what do I have to deal with every day? These guys, come on, when are they going to get it together? But then also there's that enthusiasm. There's that enthusiasm to chant, there's that enthusiasm to serve, there's that enthusiasm to follow. And that reminds us of where we need to be. By association, by protecting ourselves, by putting ourselves in protected environments, are we then able to deal with these situations nicely? Otherwise, on our own, what is the possibility? It's very difficult. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada makes that point. He generated this society for that reason. For association. In that association, we're able to come to the platform of the consciousness of these great personalities like Chittaketu Maharaj. And in that way, we're able to deal with the reverses of life. So are there any comments, questions, additions? Tattvavit Prabhu, anything to add? Any questions? Huh. Yes. Cannot hear. Imperfect senses.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. You very nicely explained about present of Krishna consciousness, and the fact which you said, it's very really nourishment of Krishna consciousness when you distribute. So one of the comment I was hearing, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swayaman Maharaj seminar. So after completion of seminar, everybody started clapping. So he said, when Prabhupada was giving class, that time once devotee started clapping, so Prabhupada said, stop this, because this is not material performance. So this was the, you know, very common thing nowadays, our devotees also doing. But I am very happy that you point this, and like this, you kept this point also in the class, that you should not clap. Instead of clapping, we can say Hari Bol. There is a comment, Hare Krishna.
I mean, just according to the culture, that's all. If in that culture, just like if you're speaking to a group of English gentlemen, then they'll clap, because that's just the culture. But in Vaishnava culture, why would we then have to take a lower form of appreciation? Because we're Vaishnavas, we should take a higher form of appreciation. That's the point. We shouldn't be stuck in our conditioned nature. As Vaishnavas, we should come off the bodily platform. We shouldn't then say, no, you know, I should have my rights to be able to do whatever I want. Yeah, your rights as a conditioned living entity. But what's your obligation as a devotee of the Lord? Is your obligation as a devotee of the Lord to try and raise your consciousness so that you follow Vaishnava culture? Yes. So that's the principle that's being discussed. When these points are made not for politics. These points are made for culture. Because we should be showing the world what culture is, what real Vaishnava culture is. And that's through our thought, our words, and our deeds. So that's why we will make these points, or others may make these points. And that's why Srila Prabhupada made these points. Because he wanted to elevate our consciousness. And that's why when we read Bhagavatam, it's meant to elevate our consciousness. We're meant to scrutinize these books, scrutinize these pastimes, and see, okay, where am I compared to this personality? How did he get to the elevated position he is? What do I need to do? Like that. Yes. Just come in.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You said we do not need to take a lower form of appreciation. Prabhupada probably, besides giving Krishna consciousness to the world, the mood was also to give the Vedic culture to the world in terms of eating, in terms of clothing, sittings, whatever. The rest of the world was supposed to learn this culture, the Vedic culture. Somewhere down the line we see that still the Western culture that was already dominant, even now sometimes down the line it slips into the Krishna conscious society in terms of food, in terms of various things. If there's no reason to take a lower form of appreciation, neither do I have a question nor do, no, it's a comment, I don't know. But what is your opinion, or how much careful we should be as individuals and as an organization?
There's two things, there's personal and there's public. So in public, according to the situation, it may have to be adjusted. According to, you know, the culture, according to the local, you know. So, just like, for example, in certain countries, just because of the conditioned nature, they can't deal with the richness of the traditional Vedic stroke Indian cuisine. They just can't deal with it. The bodies can't deal with it. So therefore, it has to be adjusted. That's fine. It can be adjusted. But if it's made as a philosophy, but no, it has to be like this, then it's different. So there's situational dependent adjustments, and then there's the philosophical standing. The philosophical standing is, you read Bhogarti, right, just like at midday, most temples, especially in India, then they sing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhogartik song. Right? In any of in Bhogartik song, do you read pizza, pasta, cheesecake? No. In Mahaprabhu's Leela, do you read any of those things? No. That's what they're eating. So if it's good enough for them, at some point it should become good enough for us. Problem is that devotees don't know how to cook. That's the problem. You find me many devotees who know how to cook properly, well, who are trained in the science of cooking. I can guarantee you hardly anyone in the world knows the science of cooking. Actually knows the science of what should go with what. You know, some devotees in the Indian subcontinent, they think chili has to go with everything. No. That's the problem. So then the Western devotees, when they have Indian cooking, because it's so spicy, they can't deal with it. But it's not meant to be like that. It's meant to be balanced. It's meant to be scientifically put together so that the flavors are balanced. Who knows that science? Therefore, these things come in because no one knows cooking. So what do? They stick to what they know best. It's okay.
So it has to be in a mood of, adjustment and with a desire and with an eye on the higher standards, right?
So that's what I'm saying. You don't have to worry about the externals, what's going on around you. You yourself just elevate your consciousness. That's the unique situation in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter about what else is going on around you. You yourself can be God conscious. So what does that mean? Does that mean I have to sit on the floor and only eat dal, rice, chapatis? Yes, maybe. No, but actually what it means is whatever I have is Krishna's. So therefore as I progress, I should start to learn what does Krishna like. Krishna likes good cooking. It has to be cooked nicely, with love. So you learn that. Nice story, I'll finish. There was one Mataji, I think her name was Prabhupada's disciple, Nidra Devi. And she was famous for being a bad cook. But she wanted to serve Prabhupada so much. And Harikesh was Prabhupada's servant at that time. And so somehow the opportunity came that Prabhupada's regular cook wasn't able to cook. So, you know, Harikesh had reluctantly let her cook. And then he just went military style on her. He just shouted at her and said, you know, you better make sure this, that, the other, you know. If anything goes wrong, then that's it, you know, your life is finished. You know, this is Srila Prabhupada, you know, the whole, you know, emotional scene. And then, Harikesh is, you know, Subji is burnt, everything is like, it's disaster. Anything could go wrong, did go wrong. You know, burnt the water, all that kind of stuff. So then Harikesh could see that Prabhupada didn't take hardly anything. And so then he started shouting at Nidra, like screaming and you know like, and Prabhupada could hear. And Prabhupada called him and said, what are you doing? You should call her here. And in front of Harikesh, Prabhupada said, why are you chastising her? She's doing it out of the goodness of her heart. The chapatis were very nice. And she felt very satisfied. She felt very happy. And then she walked away. And then the penny dropped. Prabhupada only said that the chapatis were nice. That meant everything else was bogus. So now I failed. And then what did she do? For 10 years, she took the dust of the feet of all of the cooks, all of the ladies who knew how to cook, and she perfected her cooking. And she became one of the best cooks in Braj, in Vrindavan. One of the best. Because it's sincerity. It's the willingness to want to serve. It's the willingness to take that humble position to elevate one's consciousness. Because that's what the personalities in the Bhagavatam are doing. That's what we have to do. Okay, so we should stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jagat Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande.